Friends, welcome back to another episode of the Roto-World Football Podcast. As you know, it's the most important podcast in the universe. That's because you make it so. You, our favorite listeners, you, our subscribers. I should probably introduce myself. My name is Josh Norris. If you missed the NFL Combine coverage that we had throughout the week, go and check that out. I did solo podcasts for about 10 to 12 minutes. The little bite-sized ones, you know, even some people who don't listen to them like them. Next week, I will have people like Danny Kelly on the podcast from The Ringer. I'm also going to start some prospect interviews. I will have North Dakota State's Easton Stick at quarterback, who took over for Carson Wentz at quarterback. It's going to be a fun one. We're gearing up for draft season, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have some workouts. I already heard from some agents about team visits, so I'll be posting those on Twitter as well. But today is a little bit different, because all we talk about on the show is football, other than, you know, the 5 to 10 minute tangents that we seem to go on. So we want to combine that football stuff with whatever else you all want to talk about, and really whatever we want to talk about. And this is the platform to do it because we have no others. And so in order to do that, I thought Ray Summerlin would be the perfect person to ask on for that. Let me start by asking, you took a shower before this podcast.
Accurate.
To wake you up. Is that a common thing that you do to be woke, some might say?
No, I read other websites to be woke, but yeah, no, it's one of my go-to waker uppers. I will say, working from home, the shower schedule can get embarrassingly a long time between showers, and so, you know, It's always good whenever you're tired to nip in there and have a shower for sure. But I have to ask you about the Stick interview. Have you already done it yet?
No, not yet.
You haven't done it yet.
That's just like me saying, hey, this is going to happen, so I absolutely do it.
Fair enough. Are you going to bring Thor on?
Yeah, Thor from the college football section, who is like from that area-ish. I mean, I would say all cold weather northern states, not northeast, just like Midwest, all kind of fit in that North Dakota State vibe.
Yeah.
So yeah, Thor is a big fan. I am too.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. As soon as you said it, I was into it. I'm also into, Thor is going to be mad if you don't. You have to invite him on or have like a guest question.
No.
You got to do something.
I'm not going to tell him. I'm not going to tell him before I do it. It's just going to be done and it's going to be posted. And then he's going to find out that way. It's like, you know, when your girlfriend cheats on you and you find out via someone else and not directly from them. That has happened to me. Maybe we'll get to that story at some point, Ray. So I guess the format of this episode, we asked for your questions through Twitter, through Instagram, Josh J. Norris. We'll go through them. We're kind of going to alternate like sports and then not sports. We won't really stick to that. We don't really stick to anything on this podcast, but it'll be fun. Ray, I feel like the best way to start, and this comes from Johnny from Boise. Outside of quarterback, what position would you first want to add top talents to if you were building a roster?
You know, I thought about this question, and I was trying to come up with like a unique angle to answer it, to not just say what everybody else is going to say, but like I think everybody knows what the answers are. Like, as we move forward, it is...
I'm nervous now that I picked a different position.
Ooh, this will be interesting then. So I think as we move forward, it'll be positions that help the passing game either on offense or positions which affect the passing game on defense. I think that we're getting to the point now where there are enough receivers. I'm not saying that having like a DeAndre Hopkins or a Odell Beckham does not, you know, elevate your offense even more. But I don't think that you necessarily have to have a number one like that. I think that offenses and passing games are developed to the point where you can have a lot of secondary receivers. We've seen that, you know, with the Rams. You can have a lot of secondary receivers and still have a really good offense. So I would put receivers off to the side there. That basically leaves corners and pass rushers. From my perspective, the defense that I would like to run if I ran a defense would be a man, heavy man press, single high coverage. And that really depends on corners. And so I would say corners.
Damn, Ray.
But I think that... You know, I think pass rushers are an equally good answer. And now I'm really interested in what weird answer you've come up with.
Offensive line. Absolutely,
yeah,
offensive line.
I think that fits in with helps the passing game. Like, you,
right.
If you can't protect the quarterback, then there you go.
Right. Well, offensive line, I mean, it aids if you have top talents and also healthy talents, as we've seen in most recent Super Bowl contenders and Super Bowl champions. Continuity along that offensive line with very good players up there too aids the running game. I mean, it makes your running game, and then it also allows your quarterback to stay inside of structure for longer. offensive line's the easy answer for me, but Ray, I guess it's not fair to like name an entire position group, and I wouldn't just pick like a left tackle, or I wouldn't just pick a center. And I think there is somewhat of an argument to be made in certain offenses that like center is more important than left tackle, but that's neither here nor there. But if I was to pick like an individual position, like just one player to add to a certain position, it would be a cornerback of like the caliber of like Richard Sherman, of the caliber of Darrell Revis, where like if I'm running a cover three system or something of the sort, then I know like a third of the field is just taken care of defensively, and hopefully I can build around that. So we're alike in that regard.
A corner like Patrick Peterson is like just the value that you get from that one player on defense is just immense.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable how much having a guy like that can affect your defense. So can we move on?
Yes, can go we move ahead. Forward? Got a question too.
So our next question from James in Newark is, what Nickelodeon show would you most want to participate in? Now, I think we need to like add some qualifiers, because I believe, are there any new Nickelodeon shows? Like
No, I'm talking like childhood.
Yeah,
early teen years, right? Here. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, this has to be mid-90s. So like, if there are any new Nickelodeon
shows... Should we state our ages for the record?
Yeah, I'm 33. What are you?
I'm 30.
30, young buck. So yeah, like, I think it has to be like mid-90s. That's where I'm going with here. Is that where you are?
Totally. And I think the easy one that pops out that almost everyone will pick from our era is Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a great selection. Like, and if you want to get really down to the nitty gritty, you want to be part of the Blue Barracudas as well. But really, we kind of lose sight of what the entire show of Legends of the Hidden Temple is, Ray. You know, everyone thinks it's just going through the rooms at the end, like where you want to avoid the temple guards, where you want to avoid the Shrine of the Silver Monkey, okay? Where you always want to go second and just be a champion and bring it home for everyone. The prize is like you run through Toys R Us and you can grab all the gifts off the shelves, that all you want to for the 10 minutes or whatever you get. But Ray, we forget about the other parts of the show. Like you forget about having to go through that, like swing from the ropes and go through that pool at the beginning. We forget that you have to be actually smart and listen to what Olmec says as you step down and get three in a row before everyone else, right? And then there are like two more competitions where you have to get the pieces of the pendant and in order to, you know, scare away the temple guards as well. Like there's more parts of it than just the end, and that would concern me a little bit.
Well, so the moat always was like seemed arbitrary. Like it would be like they'd start off with what, like eight teams or whatever, and then you have to go across the moat and it would all immediately eliminate, I think, like half of them. And it was just this arbitrary, did you fall off the ladder or not kind of thing. I don't think that show would be as fun to participate in. Like it was my favorite to watch, but I don't think it would be as fun to participate in. I think my answer would be Guts.
Love it. That was going to be my number two. Yeah. I will say that there are Nickelodeon, looking back, Ray, is just amazing at making you want to be in the positions of the people on television. And so there's like five different possibilities here, and Guts is absolutely near the top of the list.
Wild and Crazy Kids, like that was essentially all it was. Like you just wanted to be there. Like that was what it was. That was the Double Dare was like that. All of them really like that. So yeah, I think Guts is the answer. I will say I have to give an honorable mention to Nick Arcade. I don't know how many people watched Nick Arcade. So like just for those of you who didn't watch it, it was like you would answer questions. I'm recalling this off the top of my head. I think you would answer questions and it would earn you a trip inside their like video game simulator, which I assume was just like a green screen out like obstacle course. So I assume that inside was actually not as cool as it was watching it, but like it showed up on the screen like you were going through this like VR obstacle course. And that's the coolest thing a 10-year-old Raymond Summerlin ever saw. Like I'd have given up my lunch money for a year. And for me, that's saying something. I would have given up my lunch money for a year to go into that video simulation. Like it was amazing.
So the other parts of Nick Arcade that you missed, like they would give you challenges, okay?
Yeah.
Like they would say like in 2 minutes you have to collect 100 rings and Sonic. And so you're there like at the actual arcade machine trying to collect those. But honestly, like that was the cool part. The being in the simulator, I couldn't imagine doing that because it was finicky, it was janky, it was broken. Yeah. It's the type of show though, Ray, that they need to bring back now, especially with VR. Like to me, it would be an amazing show nowadays.
Yeah, why doesn't Twitch have the rights to Nick Arcade? Right? Twitch Arcade, how is that not a thing?
Right? Ray, let's just end the podcast now and move on to our next venture.
Exactly.
And the other parts are Guts. Like, do you ever go back and watch the people that absolutely failed at Guts? It's some of the funniest stuff you'll ever see on YouTube, like the little kid who is trying to paddleboard across the pool. I mean, it's just a pool. And he's so small that the paddles can't touch the water, and he's just going like it's like when you hold a dog above water and their feet are just kicking. That's basically him with the paddleboard. But yeah, I mean, everyone wanted a piece of the Agro Crag in their room as a kid.
Yeah, it'd have been the greatest thing ever.
I forgot to mention that we're going to do 7 questions. You can always, always send us questions. We have a bank of them and a shared Google Doc. So just send them our way and we'll get to them on a weekly basis on a show like this. Ray, here's another one for you. Back to football. Who are some successful NFL players you think are actually bad? This is from Burke Kitchen. I'm just going to say he's from Atlanta. Conversely, some unsuccessful players you still believe in.
Let's start with the negative. You know, that's always how I like to go. You know, this is a tough question to answer because of age curves, right? Eli Manning has been a successful player in his career, but he's clearly bad now. The answer to that question is probably a running back, because that's the position that doesn't matter. So like, all that matters is opportunity and what opportunities you get. At the top of my mind on that list is Tevin Coleman. I still don't think that Tevin Coleman is an above average running back. I'm very interested to see where he lands in free agency, how much money he's going to get, how successful he is, you know, wherever he ends up. And maybe I'm wrong about him. I'm wrong about players all the time. So maybe I'm wrong about him. But there's something about his style that I just don't like. And I just don't think that he's an above average back. But like I said, I could be wrong.
Mine's fairly simple, Ray. And it's kind of the opposite of the running back position. It's a linebacker. And this guy has not been good since he entered the league.
Alex Ogletree.
Yes. Yes. It's Alec Ogletree.
I wish I'd have thought of him, because that's the answer. You have the answer.
And look, we're not on this podcast to offend people. You asked the question, so we're answering it. That's what our job is right now. Alec Ogletree counts $11.75 million towards the cap for the Giants in 2018. And they only save $500,000 by cutting him if they want to this year. So he's locked into the roster. And he's not good at football. Like, he is the reason why you don't cite tackles, because he makes them 6 yards down the field. That's it. Like, that's his game. Look, I'm not going to say Jared Goff in this question, you know, right? Like, I would never say Jared Goff in this question. Like, again, let me emphasize, the guy that played in the Super Bowl at quarterback, who put up a ton of touchdowns, Ray, I would never say Jared Goff to answer this question. I would never do that.
You know what's hilarious is that I wasn't even really thinking about, like, I just got in my mind that it would be a running back for the reason I said. So I wasn't even really thinking about any positions. But as soon as you said linebacker, I knew exactly who you were going to say. Yeah. Like, there Love was it. No doubt in my mind who it was going to be.
Should we be nice now? Should we lift up someone that constantly gets destroyed?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about constantly destroying the media. I kind of took this, like, players that you think would be good. Like, I kind of viewed it as the people who I liked in their draft class who just haven't hit for whatever reason. Like, it seems to me like that's kind of the spirit of this question. So I still think Josh Doctson in the right situation would be a good NFL player.
Even though he's 29.
I don't care. Like, I still think that it could happen. So we'll have to see. I don't know if he's ever going to get in the same situation or the right situation. Curtis Samuel would have been on this list, but I guess that breakout has already started to happen.
Oh no, he's actually good. And he's going to be very good in 2019. Yeah.
And I think that people didn't like him as much as me, for sure. But like, especially after the rookie season, they kind of went out. And I'm hoping that one's going to work out. At running back, I think I've given up on everybody. I think I've given up on Devontae Booker. I know that's not good for the jokes on this podcast, but
Paul Perkins, Ray, we can just go like down a list. Like, you know how the Browns have their quarterback list on their shirts? Like, we can go Paul Perkins here. We could go Royce Freeman here. We could go.
Hold on. Like, who liked Royce Freeman?
Sorry, that was Reeves. Sorry, that was Reeves.
Don't try to put that on me. And by the way,
Doug Martin here, we can go like down.
No, 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 no. Doug Martin was a very good NFL running back at one point in time when I loved him. I will not take Doug Martin slander. A name on that might still be on that list is Jonathan Williams, who was, when he was healthy in college, Jonathan Williams was very good. And I don't know if we're ever going to get to see that. But that would be one that I'm still watching. I'm still interested in. I don't even remember where he is now. He ended up on someone.
Saints,
like
I believe.
Is he still in the Saints? The back end of somebody's roster he's on.
It was crazy because it was going to be LeSean McCoy in that backfield for the Bills. And then Jonathan Williams put up like a huge preseason. And I even remember like doing a podcast to wrap up that preseason with Evan. And we were like, oh man, I can't wait to take a late round shot with Jonathan Williams just in best ball leagues. And then he gets cut like the next day out of nowhere after he was running as a second running back on that team. And instead they wanted to go with like Mike Tolbert. It was bananas.
It was Mike Tolbert. Oh, he's on the Colts now, by the way. So he's kind of buried. But
my real one, and it's a person I've defended for years, Ray, it's Ted Ginn. The perception of Ted Ginn whenever I talk about Ted Ginn being good at football is, well, he just drops passes. And this kind of goes to a deeper cut of watching football where drop passes might happen 8 to 10 to 12 times, maybe 14 times an entire season. And too often people let those 8 to 10 to 12 instances cloud like the entire evaluation of a player and how impactful they are in many ways. And with Ted Ginn, it's not even just when he gets the football. But I will take Ted Ginn on my roster 10 out of 10 times. I think he's a fantastic football player. As long as the coaches aren't Neanderthals and are just going to take them out of the lineup because they drop a pass.
So next up on the list that we have here, our shared Google Doc, is a question that I don't know what you're talking about. The question is, did you see the ridiculous hand towels, rags, towels tweet? And what was your response? The answer to the first part of that question is I did not. And so the second.
Yeah, Ray, I was the one that put this one on the list because I just have to talk about this. Well, I need to ask you about it because I think you are the correct person to vent about this. I linked the tweet to you. For all of you, you can go check it out. Just Google this guy's Twitter handle. It's at Yashar, Y-A-S-H-A-R. Just type in towels with his name. So this guy on like February 17th responded to a tweet that says, oh, it's been on my mind, Ray. It's been on my mind. So the initial tweet from Advil was, hello, fellow adults. My girlfriend and I have a question. What is the correct amount of towels to own? I said 10, and she looked at me like I was crazy. Okay, that's all we need to say about that. And then this dude, Yasher, who I should note, writes for New York Magazine and the Huffington Post, says, as a couple, so this is two people, you should own a minimum of the following.
Okay.
10 bath sheets,
what?
10 bath towels, 10 hand towels, and 20 washcloths, preferably more. Ray, what type of crazy person wants to have 40 pieces of cloth, of fabric between them to wipe their bodies down when they're wet between two people? Like, this is psychotic stuff.
I have lots of questions. Question one, what's a bath sheet?
I have the answer. So a towel is, you know, basically just long enough to fit around your waist. Okay.
Speak for yourself.
Well, the bath sheet is kind of like the size of a beach towel, I believe. It's just larger is the easiest way to
put it. Well, why do you need both a bath towel? Like at some point, don't you decide as a house, like if you're a bath towel or a bath sheet kind of house, like why do you need both towels and sheets?
aren't you a homeowner, correct? Like
accurate.
Like overall, total, how many sheets, towels, whatever do you think you have at home?
We do have lots of towels. Now that I think about it, there's a closet that I don't venture into that is full of towels. So yeah, maybe like 10 pairs of towels. I don't know why you would need more washcloths than towels. That's a concern.
That's the thing, right? Like hand towels, washcloths, pointless. Pointless. Just use a freaking towel. Like, just use a towel for everything.
Or a loofah.
Like, I don't understand. I've just never been a part of that. I just use my hands like a dirty boy.
Like a dirty boy, he said.
just use a damn towel. I take a shower every morning at the exact same time. Just use a towel. I have 5 towels. That's it. I don't care about 10 hand towels.
I think the two things that are crazy to me are more washcloths than towels, which I don't understand that at all. Like presumably you would change washcloths when you change towels. Like that's a weird thought to me. And the second thing is, I don't know why you need sheets and towels. First of all, I'm interested by this bath sheet idea. And I'm interested in investing in any bath sheet manufacturers who are out there listening. But like, why do you need sheets or towels? Pick one. Either you're a sheet house or you're a towel house, not both.
From Michael in Charlotte, what is the best sports video game of all time?
So I'm going to just lay some ground rules out here. The answer to this question is some version of NCAA football or some version of FIFA. If someone were to say,
you're already wrong.
If someone were to say Fight Night, I would accept it. But NCAA and FIFA are the two best video game franchises of all time. And those are the answers. And you can pick whatever year you like. but those are the answers for me.
Okay, we need more ground rules here.
All right.
Does it have to mimic like an actual sport? Mario Kart, because it's racing, does that count as a sports game?
See, yeah, now you're getting into interesting. Like, I don't know if racing games, like, they didn't ever really get into my mind. Because, like, Gran Turismo, I love Gran Turismo. Obviously a great game. But, like, and Mario Kart's fun for what it is. But, like, they didn't really enter my mind. I was thinking, like, baseball, football, basketball, hockey, soccer. Like, that's what I was thinking.
The best football game of all time, Ray, is NFL 2K5. NFL 2K5, whoa, what is that sigh about?
I don't like 2K games. I don't like any 2K game. I've never liked it. The movement on them is weird. The mechanics,
because it's good and you're used to bad?
No, the mechanics are weird. I don't like 2K. Never did. Personal preference.
To me, it's the best football game of all time. I will also take claim to the NBA moving over to focusing on the three-point shot, because back in like NBA 2K8, I would do fantasy draft with my buddy and we would do franchise for the entire season.
Yeah.
And I would draft every single year the likes of Joe Johnson, the likes of Thaddeus Young, the likes of JJ Redick, and only shoot three pointers. Then the NBA caught on. So one, you're welcome. And two, Ray, I have a super deep cut for you, not to steal your shtick here.
Sure.
Did you ever play a game, and to anyone out there, if you did, let me know, called Buck Bumble?
No. This is impressive that you've gotten me. I'm a guy who played Nintendo 64 Super Beetle. You've gotten me beat. Let's see what it is.
Well, it was an N64 game, so you are on the correct console for that. But Ray, it basically was the initial Rocket League.
Oh,
what you did?
Yeah,
you were a bee, and there was just a ball in the middle of the field. And you versus another person had to, you know, force the ball into the other person's net. Again, it was the initial Rocket League, and this was all the way back in N64. And the theme song, if you ever want to play it, it's, "What about now? It's time to rock the bickety buck bumble." Great stuff.
I have to ask this question. All right. So you have specific like years that you like. So you don't agree then that NCAA football and FIFA are the two best franchises?
FIFA currently is the best franchise, but it's how I play the game.
Yeah.
Like, how I play games is always from a managerial perspective,
yeah,
where I want to build rosters. Like, my perfect game, Ray, would be just to build a roster and watch the computer play it out.
So you should really invest in Football Manager then.
The graphics aren't good enough. Like, I also need to be like visually pleased by it. The game that I was most excited for ever was NFL Head Coach.
Yeah.
And it was an absolute train wreck.
It
was an absolute train
wreck. It only
wreck.
Lasted 1 year, right?
Yeah, and I still put like 100 hours into it, even though like when you drafted Chris Long, you couldn't edit the players. And that's a huge thing for me,
yeah,
is making sure they have the right equipment, uniform number, and all that stuff. Because it made Chris Long, because that was his rookie year. Like, I still remember what year it was. It was like Darren McFadden and John the Stewart and Chris Long and Glenn Dorsey and all those dudes. Because it made Chris Long look like he was 400 pounds and you couldn't make him look like an actual defensive end.
The sports game which has brought me the most joy is Online Dynasty and NCAA. Nothing tops Online Dynasty and NCAA, just with your friends, recruiting against them, playing against them. Like, it was just perfect. Everything about it was perfect. Please bring back NCAA football.
All right, number six, Ray, go for it.
So this question's perfect for you. I know you are a culinary expert. I know you spend a lot of your free time in the kitchen. So this comes from Neil, our friend Neil Dutton from the UK. And he asks, what's one meal that you believe you can make better than anyone else on the planet?
To make it better than anyone? I mean, I'm not that cocky of a person, if you've ever known that, Ray. I'm not overly confident in that way. But if you do want to check out my food pictures, it's Josh J. Norris on Instagram. I would say chicken piccata. Like, my mom was an awful cook, and so I grew up watching the Food Network and then learned how to cook from watching Food Network. And I mean, chicken piccata is super simple, and it combines like all my favorite things in terms of butter and acid, and that's about it. Yeah, so chicken piccata would be my simple answer, even though I am the salad king, some call
it. That is accurate. I've seen you eat like 7 salads in a sitting. It's incredible.
Because it's the best type of food is a salad.
That is demonstrably false. I actually, like you, I don't make anything better than anyone on the planet. I have meals that I make well, but I don't think certainly any of them better than anyone else. I will say, like everybody else on the planet, I'm handy at making breakfast. I think everybody can make breakfast. I've really been into making migas lately, usually with chorizo. So I'm into that lately. I think it's so much better than an omelet. If you've never made migas, breakfast migas, then you should certainly do that.
Like Migos, like the rap group?
No, migas with an A.
Okay.
It's crushed tortilla chips that you kind of pan fry a little bit and then you pour eggs over the top of it like an omelet, and it's unbelievable.
Could not name a single Migos song.
This is the thing I probably make the most is I make a homemade pie crust quiche. So I make the crust and I make the quiche. And ooh, like it. That one's pretty good. I'm more of a baker. I make a pretty good lemon Victoria sandwich with nice buttercream and some lemon curd. I really like that one that I make. So yeah, I don't think that, you know, I get around, I can handle myself in the kitchen, but I'm certainly not special.
The number one piece of advice I would tell people is just learn how to cook, though. Number seven, this comes from Adam from Albany. What Dragon Ball Z character would the other person be? Ray, would you like to start? Because this is the most important question you've had on this episode. Or should I start? Because we don't want to hurt each other's feelings with these answers.
I don't really, not that worried about hurting your feelings, so I'm being honest with you.
It fits into my choice. So
I'm going to be Vegeta, aren't I? I did not really have to think about this answer for more than a second. As soon as I read it, I knew the answer was Future Trunks. I knew that's who you were. I didn't really know why. Like, I didn't really have a reason, but like immediately okay. I knew that was the answer. I think it comes down to a couple things. One, the kind of like seriousness of him. Like, I'm not saying like you're boring or you don't make jokes or you don't like a good time or anything, but like you certainly seem like the grown-up of our little outfit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I have the future in mind.
Yeah, there you go. And I also feel like you like are a man out of time a little bit. Like I think if you were 50, everybody, like, you would seem the same. Like, you would okay. be like, I don't know if your interests really align with other early 30s something. Would you agree with that?
So there is a column in the middle of our newsroom, and it's just like filled with funny things that, you know, people in the newsroom think that are funny. After like a TV hit or a video or something, someone asked me how old I was, and I told them to take a guess, and they said at the earliest 36. and that's a 3-year-old tweet. So I was 27 at the time.
So, yeah. So I'm not wrong, right?
No, you're not wrong. Ray, hopefully everyone out there understands this one. And, you know, there's some positives to it, Ray.
All right.
Because you can be a complete jerk.
Facts.
Because sometimes that is your natural reaction to things. Yet people still like you, Ray. And there are times when positivity does brim from you. Okay. You do have a warm heart in moments as well. I'm going to go with Piccolo.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah, I like that a lot.
I believe you are Piccolo. You know, there have been times, Ray, that, you know, you have held my hand through things, that you have shown me the way. But then there are other times, and again, you seem to do it with a smile on your face, so like people don't catch on that you deep down can be a bit of a negative Nancy at the beginning of your remarks about anything.
Yes.
But Piccolo is the correct answer for you. Right.
I'll take Piccolo. I'll also say that I gave you one of the most powerful characters in the universe, and you gave me one of the least powerful. You might as well have just made me Krillin. So when we're...
No, I would never do that. You have too much good hair to be Krillin.
So when we're talking about, you know, who's really negative, let's just think about that in the future.
You can regrow your arm.
Ooh, that actually could prove useful in the future.
See? Ray, we want to end all of these Q&A episodes. And again, you can send us any questions that you want, either through Twitter, either our Twitter handles, reviews of this podcast, or on Instagram, Josh J. Norris, just with some content suggestions, because we know it's the off season. Ray, give the people, we even need to start this by naming this section of the podcast, because we have nothing. Is it as simple as saying like, two thumbs up, check this out?
No. No, it's not. You said, and I quote, you said before, we should brainstorm. And I said, that's going to lead to some terrible ideas. And you came right out of the gate with them. Just right.
Two thumbs up. Check this out.
Just hard pass. So if you have any suggestions, we're interested in hearing some of them.
Please tweet Ray, two thumbs up. Check this out as your suggestion. Ray, give the people some content to consume.
So we just finished, my wife and I just finished Umbrella Academy on Netflix, which was, I'm not going to go ahead and out and say it was good, because I think the writing left quite a bit to be desired. They very often used a sledgehammer to drive home their points. I don't know if that's just because the show was so weird that they thought they needed to be as clear as possible, but the writing wasn't good. But aside from that, like the way it was made was just exceptional. The story is kind of fun and interesting. It's weird. They clearly are setting up for a second season, so hopefully that second season will be better. Maybe they feel more comfortable in their skin and they don't have to hit the same plot point 7 and 8 times. So I liked it. I enjoyed it aside from that kind of flaw. And I'm interested in what the second season is going to be.
Shouldn't we, suggesting content that we actually enjoyed that's good content?
No, but I did enjoy it. I'm just saying that there are issues with it because I'm Piccolo. It's not perfect, but I did enjoy it. It is a show that I will watch the second season of the show when it, like, we can't watch everything's not the second season of The Leftovers. Everything can't be perfect.
Oh. While I watch Prospects, and there's always another one to watch, there's always stuff to catch up on, I can never have video playing in the opposite screen on my second monitor, okay? Because then I'll want to focus on that. So instead, it just has to be audio-based. Lately, I have been listening to super old episodes of Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. And these are from like 2000, 2001, 2002. They're all on YouTube. Go and check them out. I'd never listened to Loveline, the type of relationship that the two have, and two, how they are able to kind of seamlessly weave between making the person calling in, who obviously has a fairly major problem, making fun of them, making them feel bad about themselves, but then also helping them in that same regard. Ray, it's gotten to the point where it's like what I listen to before I go to sleep. Like I just let like the episode play as I'm falling to sleep.
So that's it for our inaugural episode here of the Q&A podcast. But we want to do more of these. To do more of these, we need Qs so we can give the A's. So if you liked it, send us a question. I'm at RM Summerlin on Twitter. I believe you're at Josh Norris on Twitter. Is that correct?
That is it, Ray. And I don't receive many A's very often in school. So it'll be good to dish them out, I guess.
Yeah. So send us all the Qs that you have. And like I said, football, whatever. We're happy to talk about whatever. And this was fun. So I hope we get to do it again.
Yeah, mostly the whatever. And for all of you out there, be sure to subscribe, rate and review the podcast. And we'll talk to you all soon. See ya.